The officer was then able to force open the door, at which time the wounded suspect raced from the apartment in a desperate attempt to escape. In his pain and confusion, he accidentally flipped over the fifth-story banister and fell to his death. Needless to say, Bobby and I don't discuss this incident. Neither does Dee Dee, who was in the downstairs lobby and thus, according to the official report, was not in a position to see what happened before the giant splat. Though a few weeks ago, she gave me a t-shirt that reads, "Accidents happen." 5. Even psychopaths have community spirit. Charlie Marvin turned out to be former Boston State mental patient Christopher Aola. The Boston PD now believe he murdered at least a dozen prostitutes while posing as a selfless advocate for the homeless. Taking a page from Ted Bundy's handbook, Bundy had volunteered at a suicide hotline, Charlie had cleverly used his position to ingratiate himself with potential victims while continuing to deflect the attention of the police. He'd recently grown bold, however, with his latest target being lead investigator Dee Dee Warren. A handwriting expert confirmed that the note left on Dee Dee's car was most likely written by Charlie. The four dogs shot and killed the night of the rendezvous at Boston State Mental all bore identity chips that were traced to two different drug dealers / dog trainers, who confirmed a kindly older gentleman as the person who purchased their prized pets. Best guess, Charlie insinuated himself into the investigation in an attempt to identify and contact the original perpetrator of the mass grave. Along the way, however, he became infatuated with Dee Dee and started some head games of his own. The police found bomb-making materials in Charlie's Boston apartment. Apparently, he'd been plotting further misdeeds when Tommy had stabbed him to death in my kitchen. Aola's parents refused to claim his body. Last I heard, his remains were dispatched to an unmarked grave. 6. Closure is harder to come by than people think. We buried Dory this morning. By we, I mean her parents, myself, and 200 other well-wishers, most of whom had never met Dory when she was alive, but were touched by the circumstances of her death. I watched retired Lawrence police officers cry, neighbors who 25 years ago searched in vain for her in the woods. The BPD task force attended the service, standing in the back. Afterward, Mr. and Mrs. Petrocelli shook hands with every single officer. When Mrs. Petrocelli came to Dee Dee, she grabbed the sergeant in an enormous hug. Then both women broke down crying. Mrs. Petrocelli had asked me if I would say a few words. Not the eulogy. Their priest did that, and he was okay, I guess. She was hoping I might tell people of the Dory I knew, because none of these people had ever gotten a chance to meet that child. It sounded like a good idea. I thought I would. But when the time came, I couldn't speak. The emotions I felt were too strong to share. Mostly, I think I should take that movie deal, because I would like to donate the money to Mrs. Petrocelli's foundation. I would like more Dories to be returned to their parents. I would like more childhood friends to have the opportunity to say, "I love you. I'm sorry. Goodbye." The truth shall set you free. No. The truth just tells you what was. It explains the nightmares I have 3 or 4 times a week.